Now that I understand what you went through last night, not knowing what to say, not knowing anything new, anything exciting, anything that y'all haven't heard before, but, and I thought I had something new, but yesterday morning Brent preached it. Last night Dale touched on it, so I'm done. I can do it. Sorry. But anyway, before I start with what I feel like the Lord's leading me to share, I'd just like to thank y'all for being y'all, for the support that you've given us and your prayers. Every Wednesday night we have our meetings now in Inagua's on Thursday nights, and we had them in Leon on Wednesday nights. But I knew every Wednesday night, or I know every Wednesday night, that there's people Amen. Back here praying Amen. For us. And it makes it just a little bit easier to go out another day or to just be there another day, because I know people are back here that love us, that support us, that are praying for us. And I want to thank y'all for that. And I'm thankful for the work that the Lord's allowed us to see in Leon. I'm thankful that we were even able to go to Guadalajara for a year and learn Spanish, where we can at least attempt to get what we're supposed to be getting across. And the Lord, through His grace and mercy, has seen fit to establish a church there in Leon. And not just a building, not just a few people that come and meet, that one day when we're gone, they won't be there anymore, but there's people there that love the Lord. There's people Amen. There that are visiting. Amen. There's people there that are witnessing. There's people there that have a burden for their family. There's people there that have a burden just to pray for y'all. And Amen. That, to me, the first night that we had a prayer meeting and one of the brothers prayed for the church in San Antonio, it just sent tears running down my eyes, because Amen. They have a burden in their heart. It's not something that they just have because of us. It's something real of the Lord. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord that there's a women's prayer meeting going on. They saw something that we had begun. We felt that it was necessary that the four women would get together and pray for our husbands as they go out. That just for our own attitudes, our own personalities, to be able to get along and work together. And they saw that. We didn't even go to them and say, listen, sisters, I think y'all need to get together and start praying. They saw it in our lives, and they said, we want that.
Amen.
And they've begun. They've come when we're not there. They've gone to get other people to come. And so it's just a real blessing to see people taking over. You know, Brent says that we haven't seen our third purpose fulfilled, but in a lot of ways we have, because there are people that are going and preaching. Amen. There are people that are going out and winning souls. And so, Amen. In a sense, we have seen even that third goal accomplished. And I just praise the Lord for that. And then right before we left, before any of us knew that we were leaving, we had gotten together and we thought, well, one of these days, yeah, we are going to be leaving. And these women, these leading women are the main ones that come, the most faithful. We need to get with them and teach them a few things that we felt that they need to know, like how to take care of Sunday school, or how to go out visiting the other women, or how to get a prayer meeting going. And so the Lord burned us to start that, and we got one-on-one with the women. And then the next week, the men came and announced that we were leaving, and they thought we had it all planned, and we were just laying it on them at the last minute. But we really didn't know that. But whether we knew it or not, there was an opportunity to share with some of the more faithful women what a wife's or a woman's duty in the church is. And, you know, we all think that, well, I can't really be a witness because I'm not a missionary, or I'm not a preacher, or I'm not a preacher's wife, or I'm not real versed in the Bible. I don't know the Bible. But, you know, the Lord doesn't use us because of our abilities. He uses us because of His mercy and His desire to Amen. Use us.
Amen.
And He'll
Amen.
Only use us if we're willing to be used.
Right.
If we're not willing, if we just want to sit back and watch everybody else do it, you know, He'll leave us alone. He's not going to demand more than what we're willing to give. And that brings me to some verses that I want to share tonight in Matthew 25. I just got through reading the New Testament, and some verses and some passages came out to me this time that I'd read before, but I had some questions, or they blessed me or whatever. And this one in Matthew 25, and starting in verse 15, it's talking about the man that's going into a far country, and he calls his servants, and he divides his goods among them. One, he gives five talents, another two, and another one. And that reminds me of, you know, the Lord gives different one of us different abilities, different talents. And some he gives more. There's some that, like Brother Kincaid, he's a leader. He's an elder. He's an overseer. He's got more talents maybe than some others. But that doesn't mean that he's more important or not as grand as some of the other ones, because another one just got two. And then the other one only got one. And it says in verse 15, they gave unto one, he gave five talents, to another two, and another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. He gives to every man according to his ability. You know, if you're not able to go to a foreign field, he's not going to call you to go to a foreign field. If he's called you to just teach Sunday school, then you're able to do it. And so that verse right there blessed me. He, to every man according to his several ability. You know, when we were here before, when Brent was an elder and I was pastor's wife, I had a real bad concept of it. I thought I had to live up to Mrs. Kincaid, to Verlene. I thought I had to be the submissive wife, which I needed to be. I'm not trying to say things that I tried to get out of. But I saw a woman that was submissive to her husband. I saw a woman that was a helpmeet to her husband. I saw a woman that was, in my idea, a godly woman. And I didn't feel like I met up to that standard. And for many years, five, 6 years, I put myself in kind of a condemnation state because I didn't feel like I could live up to her. I like to wear my jeans, or I like to be rowdy every once in a while, which was me. And the Lord can use me in that way where he might not have used Verlene. And I had to come to myself and realize that the Lord called me to be me, not to be Verlene or not to be Linda or not to be Lupe or another one. He called me, and I have to be me whatever way I am. Hopefully the Lord will work on me to get me where I'm really supposed to be. But, you know, he gave according to my ability. He called me at the time to be a pastor's wife. And now, and so all along I thought, well, you know, I really can't be that kind of wife. And then he called us to go to the mission field, and I thought, oh, what am I going to do now? I can't even, you know, be the right kind of wife in the States that I need to be. But he called us to go to the mission field, and I thought, you know, apparently the Lord wants to use us in some way. And if I don't feel like in my own self I can do it, I've got to totally give my life to the Lord and let him do whatever he wants to through me. He gives according to our abilities. He won't give us anything more than what we can have. Amen. He won't. And, but along with that, he expects with what he gives us for us to use.
Right.
And if we sit back and say, well, I can't go out visiting because I don't know the Bible, then we're going to miss out, because it goes on to say that the man that received the five, he went and traded with the same, and he made another five talents. And likewise, he that received two, he also gained another two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And to me, and then at the end of the chapter, it says that the two were blessed and the other one was cursed. And I didn't really understand that for a long time, because I thought, well, you know, when his Lord came back, he still had what he was given. And like in the stock market or in the commodities, you know, I really don't think when you invest your money and you make more, that's great. That's what it's supposed to be. But if you don't lose any, I always felt like, well, you know, that's not bad either, because you didn't lose. You didn't gain, but you haven't lost. And so this troubled my mind with this verse, because the one that he didn't lose, he had what the Lord had given him, but he was still cursed. And I thought, you know, in my life, the Lord has given me an ability to do something, to be a wife to Brent, to be an encouragement to him, to maybe help a sister down there, or, you know, whatever my ability is, he's given me that. And if I don't use that, then whenever the Lord comes back, I'm going to be unblessed. I'm going to be cursed. And just the same with us. If you don't feel like you have the ability to do because of not knowing the Bible or not having the bravery to go out, if you don't use what the Lord has given you, you're not going to be blessed from the Lord. And he expects us to invest our life. And that song we just sang, investing our lives. Amen. And that's what we have to do. We have to invest our lives with whatever the Lord has given us to do. If we can teach Sunday school, if we can come sing specials, if we could just work, if the Lord hadn't called us to go to a foreign field or to go full time, we still have a job. If we can still work and give what the Lord allows us to give to help somebody that has gone or that can go, then you need to use whatever the Lord's has given you. And so then, in verse 28, it goes through, the Lord comes back and the two are blessed, the one is cursed. And it says in verse 28, it says, take therefore the talent from him. And to me, that was very sad. What the Lord has given you, he's going to take back if you haven't used it. And he'll just put you up on a shelf and not use you ever again. And to me, that's a real sad place to be. I don't ever want to be in the place where I could have done something, but I didn't do it. And some thoughts that I had, you know, we don't have very much time That's left right. to do what we're supposed to do. And we've got to do it while we can. And we better do it, because if we don't do while we can what we have an ability to do, somebody else is going to do it.
Amen.
And somebody else is going to get the blessing for it.
Amen.
I mean, there's many a times that I've sat in our little meetings in Aguas Calientes with two families, four adults and eight kids. We've got more kids. And that's for a couple of weeks there, that's all there was. There was just us two families. And there was blessings, you know, that I had read and I wanted to share, but I was too embarrassed to get up and, you know, with my little Spanish that I have, you know, share and to elaborate on the verses and what had blessed me. And it didn't seem like more than one meeting or the next week, Billy or Debbie or Brent would get up and they would say exactly the same thing I was going to say. And, you know, I think they got the blessing and not me.
Amen.
And so if the Lord has given you a talent to do something, whether it's keeping nursery, whether it's going to the rescue mission or to the nursing homes or just going to your neighbors or while you're cleaning somebody's house, talking to them, you know, the kids that are in school, if it's just talking to your friends or inviting them to come to church with you on Sundays or Wednesday night, do what the Lord's given
Amen.
You the ability to do. And just commit it into his hands. And then this morning I was reading and to finish this, and First Samuel chapter 12. First Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, it says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart.
Amen.
For consider how great things he has done for you. You know, I need to consider what he's done for me. He
Amen.
Saved my soul. He changed my life. And he did it. It wasn't something that I've done. It's not something that my brother or my sister-in-law has, you know, voodooed over me to do. The Lord changed my life. And he's changed it completely. And,
Amen.
You know, where one time I just wanted to please myself and do, you know, what I wanted to do, go the places I wanted to go, he's given me another desire. He's given me a desire to go and tell the people that haven't had the message, hadn't had the gospel preached to them, that why should I have had it? But I've got that responsibility now to go and tell them of the great things that he's done.
Amen.
And I preached a message last week about the small things. The small people, the small callings and the small things. And, you know, sometimes we think if we can't do something great, something big, something that everybody can see, it's not worth anything. But you know, the small things do count. The small things somebody coming up to me and saying, sister, I'm going to pray for you. That's something great. And nobody's going to see whoever it is praying for me.
Right.
You know, and it's the small things too. But you know, it says here, for consider how great things he hath done for you. He's
Amen.
Done some great things
Amen.
In each of our lives. He saved drunkards. He saved drug addicts. He saved a lot of different backgrounds out of just this one room. He saved, you know,
Amen.
Us that, why should we have been saved? You know, and he keeps us from a lot of things. And so that's what we're attempting to do. That's what my heart's desire is. I can go and just share with them. Maybe I, you know, never be known for my great speaking abilities in Spanish, and Susan will attest to that, or Debbie will attest, you know, that, you know, our speaking abilities aren't that great, but we've got a God that's great, and He's done great things for us.
Amen.